So let's begin to talk now about Mr. McCormick.
Yes.
Because we're going to look at many, many images here. And how was he introduced to photography?
My father, Bob McCormick, and his... There were four brothers and one sister. They all grew up in Lathrop, Missouri. And their back fence neighbor was a man by the name of Gerald Cross. He was a federal judge, as was his father before him. And he was an amateur photographer. And this is would have been back in the late teens, early 20s, and he taught all of my dad's siblings and my father photography. And my father, I had lunch with him almost every day, and even in my father's 80s, he lived to be 89 almost. He was 2 months shy of 89. He still said that Gerald Cross was the finest, most competent photographer that he had ever known, and that he owed everything to his knowledge that he had passed on to my father.
So that was in, would have been in his high school years, your father's high school. How did he get from New York to Lathrop, Missouri?
He had horrible breathing problems with asthma, and the doctor said you need to take him to the desert. And by the time they got to Missouri, which is where my grandfather and grandmother's families were from, Warrensburg, Missouri, he started doing just fine. And so they wound up staying in Missouri, which is really back home for so many of them. There was a McCormick farm in Warrensburg.
How does he begin to look at this in high school? Did he go on to college, or your father? Did
in
he begin?
One semester, but this was during the Great Depression, and his family certainly couldn't afford even that. But he did spend one semester. He was a great athlete. He was a quarterback on his conference-winning team. As a matter of fact, all four brothers at one time played together on the same team.
And for what school?
Lathrop Mules.
The Lathrop Mules.
You'll see a picture of them.
And it was at a college then?
No.
Oh, that was high school.
No, he went to Warrensburg State Teachers College for one semester.
We're talking about the 30s.
Yeah, he came to Tulsa in 1935 at the age of 21. His birthday is June 3rd, and he was 21 years of age when he came to Tulsa to seek employment specifically with the Tulsa World.
All right, so he knew he had to come to Tulsa. He could have gone to Kansas City or some other big cities as well, but he chose Tulsa.
I think he was a very brilliant man, and I think he saw the writing on the wall. This was the oil capital of the world. I think he left one power capital, the mule capital of the world, and came to the oil capital of the world. Both very powerful.
So in 1935, he takes a train out here, I guess?
Yes, the same train that I and my sister would take. We visited every summer that same house that my mother was born in and that my grandfather was born in. We spent our summers up there, my sister and I. It was wonderful. We were so blessed. And that train would leave Tulsa early in the morning from the old train station downtown and arrive in Kansas City at noon. And my grandparents would pick us up there. The same train would return to Tulsa about 6 o'clock and get into Tulsa around 11 o'clock at night. And he came into Tulsa about 11 o'clock on August 14th, 1935, had no money in his pocket. He did walk over to Tracy Park, which he had heard was a good place to spend the night. And he said that there were hundreds of people in that park. It was hot. There was not a green blade of grass nor a green leaf on the trees. It was hot and dry, and people were seeking air because there was no air conditioning. So they would get out into the open air. He felt comfortable there. The next morning, he went in to see Eugene Lorton and told him the story, and he kind of knew about him anyway.
He knew about, I mean, Eugene? No.
That Mr. Lorton, Bob, had written a letter and informed him of what he knew about photography. And on that morning, when he went in to see him, he said, "Well, Bob, you are accomplished, and we need you right now. We want you to go to Claremore in Ooligaw, Oklahoma, because Will Rogers and Wiley Post have just died in a plane crash." So that was my father's very first job, the very first day that he walked on to that that career.
Do you know what kind of camera he had with him?
I do not know at all. I would say it would have been the largest format camera that the Tulsa World was probably working with. I've seen some negatives from different times back then, but those did not survive. Matter of fact, a lot of the things that the papers did not survive, they just kept discarding things as it piled up in their storage room. But my father enjoyed working with large format. 4x5 inch would have been ideal to carry around for him. And that camera was invented that I started with was the Speed Graphic, which is still, in my estimation, the best camera that I've ever worked with. It offered so much in utility and the way you could focus and straighten the lines within the actual camera itself.
So where does he live then, after he meets Mr. Lorton, and then where does he go to live?
He wound up staying at the YMCA, and that was a building that I think is gone now. If it's still there, they've probably redone something to it. It was, I'm going to say, near First Street, the original downtown YMCA. And the reason I say that is because that was his first night, really, in Tulsa. His last night in Tulsa was at the downtown YMCA. He had low blood pressure, and he always stayed an athlete, always kept exercising, and at 89 almost, his routine of exercise was the hot tub or the steam room at the downtown Y, and then a massage. And that last night, which he did go on and live another day, he got into the hot tub by himself, and because of his low blood pressure, he just fainted and went under. He still survived for 24 hours. I think about that. It was shocking at the time. I had just spent that Wednesday afternoon at 4:30 with the new general manager of the downtown Y, a nice young man. And when I finished taking his portrait, which was for the Kiwanis Club, I took him in because my father belonged to the Kiwanis Club, downtown Kiwanis Club. I said, "Dad, this is the new general manager of the downtown Y." And so they talked for about 5 minutes. And then before this man left, I put my arm around him and walked him out to the front and said, "Now look after my dad. He's fainted twice down there in the last 18 months. He says, "Oh, we're always looking after him. We've got signs up everywhere." I said, "He's not going to pay attention to a sign." And an hour and a half later, I got a phone call. "Your dad's had an accident." He survived that. He was still breathing when they got him to the hospital. And Dr. Bo Farmer was who'd been at St. John's all of his career as the emergency room doctor. I had his daughter's wedding that Saturday. That afternoon, as we were getting ready for his daughter's wedding, he says, "Your dad was still breathing. His heart was still beating when they brought him in. We rolled him over and water came out." He said his temperature was 106 degrees. And he stayed on. And the next morning they called me from the emergency, what do they call that, where they keep
ICU?
ICU, and they called about 5 in the morning and said, "Your father's blood pressure's dropping, you better get up here." And so I went up there, and I walked into his room. They had him seated up with a respirator on him, which I knew he wouldn't like. And there was about a 4'6" nun who was probably 90 years old herself, going back and forth around his bed, talking to him. She said, Bob, when you get to the pearly gate, you be sure and get a picture of St. Peter and John. And as I walked into the room, he saw me and he sat up and put his hand out. So I went over and grabbed his hand. I said, lay back down, Dad. You're going to be just fine. Don't get upset here. The doctor came in, a wonderful woman doctor who I still would love to write a letter to. She came back out with me and she didn't say anything. She hugged me. She said, we need to get your father off of that respirator. And I said, I want that. I want him off there. I want God in control. So at noon that day, they took him off, and he finally quit breathing. His new wife, who had been one of my mother's best friends, and her two daughters and myself stood around that bed, held hands, and gave a prayer of thanks for his life. It was a beautiful life, well lived.
Yeah. How old was he when he died?
He was 2 months from being 89.
And that would have been in the year?
2003. He was born in 1914.
About